shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here this week with Cody Wolf.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm thirsty as fuck.
Jack Estabrook.
Do either of you guys know the joy of pulling a 7-pound king mackerel out of the waters of the bay?
I was hoping so. Was it the craziest callback? Like, it didn't even need to be a callback.
No,
like, yeah.
I should say it in the Morgan Freeman voice.
I think they just said that to get Morgan Freeman to say something long and profound sounding.
Yeah. To even have a relevant role in this. Yeah, and Christy Smorrow was here with us as well.
RPG!
Yes, which we got a couple of times in this movie.
Yes.
We did.
There was a point where I was watching it where I was like, is someone aware of that? Like, you know,
that was the best one, though, because he yelled it out.
It was.
It was almost a rocket.
I wanted it to be rocket instead of RPG.
Our movie this week is 2016's London Has Fallen.
London's Fallen.
The second movie in the Has Fallen, hopefully, trilogy? Mm-hmm. Question mark.
Where are they going to go next?
I know. Now I'm very curious.
Earth has fallen. Is that about aliens?
Don't joke. That was apparently a pitch for the third Has Fallen.
Wait, there really might be a third one?
There could be.
Does President Asher have enough years left?
I was shocked there was a second one.
In his term?
And we should mention, we're very sad we can't. Brian Mueller, who we keep wanting to have on the show, we just don't have the technology to do it yet. And I felt terrible to not have Brian on this show because he was really a big fan of Olympus Has Fallen.
I'm sure he's forgotten about us by now anyways.
We will get him on once we work out the kinks. Okay, so let's get into London Has Fallen, which I would say is quite unique among the movies we do in many ways. This was an unexpected experience, better in some ways than I thought, and also way crazier in some ways than I thought. But
got crazy.
Yeah, it got real crazy.
But I have to say, I finished it and I thought, I don't know if this is a podcast movie.
It's definitely a podcast movie, I think, just because how crazy it was.
Well, there was definitely a lot of craziness.
It wasn't as bad as what we're usually looking for.
Well, I was saying to someone, we usually watch good, bad movies. This is almost more of like, it's a bad, good movie. Like, there's a lot of like good movie in here, but with just some crazy plot issues going on.
Yeah.
And, like, the way they do some things is nuts, but made with a lot of skill. You know, I think we'll get into it. I'll say right up front, I liked Gerard Butler. I liked Aaron Eckhart. I thought everyone in this movie was really good.
I was just glad to get everybody back from the first one.
When it's literally everybody is back. Like, to a point
some other
of,
people,
like...
Because Jackie Earle Haley wasn't in the first one, right?
Well, there were a few new faces.
But, like, I mean, at one point I was like, God, is Dylan McDermott going to show... Like, everyone is in this.
Although, I have to say, as they went around and did the little identifiers, which I completely forgot all of them afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
But around the Situation Room for the American government, I was like, oh, yeah, she was in the first one. I don't remember anything about her character. Oh, yeah, he looks familiar. Nope, don't remember anything.
Yeah, because exactly. All those guys just sitting around the office there talking for... The
well, it was kind of...
Like, did it to everybody? Yeah. Like, had an arrow pointing to, like, somebody in the crowd, like, this is... John Smith, American tourist.
Guy Lafarge.
Yeah. Guy Lafarge.
Well, that was my joke. Well, we'll get at that when we get there. All right, so the movie starts with, I guess, basically what I call like a terrorism montage.
Well, almost like
introducing people to the concept of terrorism, I think.
Setting up the villain.
Yeah.
Which I didn't feel like he really needed that much setup.
Nor did I understand almost any of it.
Well, they had to establish. They decided to hammer in the plot that this is. They had to hammer in the fact that this guy supplies weapons to all terrorists, so he's even more dangerous than an ordinary terrorist.
Which makes no sense because he's selling them, but he's not the one planning everything.
Right. Well, that's what he says.
And then it's like the best planned attack ever.
It is.
Yeah, because he basically sells them. And honestly, I had to go to Wikipedia almost instantly because this movie has the mumbliest villains of maybe any film we've ever... I could not make out what they were saying.
Bane was easier to understand.
Yeah, it was just all like... Blah, 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 blah. Like, no one opened their mouth successfully when delivering a line. For the villains, this infuriated me. I honestly, as I was reading it on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that's what that conversation was about. Yeah. But basically, the U.S. does a drone attack during this, while this terrorist's family is having a wedding.
And later they say they didn't realize the family was there.
Right.
At a wedding.
Because it does seem like that they're one guy who's doing recon is just like, yeah, that dude's here. And they're like, all right, bomb it up, you know.
But wouldn't they know that he was there at a wedding? If he was like there...
I feel that's the way intel goes. Like, I don't think it's literally like, yeah, I saw that guy, you know, click, like, right. You know, like, oh, that's all you need? All right, I guess if you don't need any more intelligence, you know.
Well, clearly they would have meant to do it. I mean, I know that there have been miscalculations of drone strikes before, and that's where they're going with this film, to try to have a message. But at the same time, like, this is, they picked the wedding because they knew he would be there. And they knew that several king terrorist types would also be there. Therefore,
I don't think
you would
they said anything about other terrorist types.
Oh, because I was assuming that why they picked the wedding as the target and that the casualties were sort of like war casualties, and maybe they'd be like this little gray area war message.
Well, I mean, I think they really wanted to get off. Him, but I think like his sons too were involved, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a couple that they were trying to kill, but it wasn't like a gathering. You know,
but
like
there
a
were also
of,
hundreds of innocent people.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So then we go to 2 years later. And
we're jogging again.
Aaron Eckhart, Gerard Butler, best friends again.
Of course.
After starting Olympus Has Fallen as best friends, not becoming best friends, resuming best friends,
of course.
Still best friends.
Of course.
It's a rocky friendship.
Yeah. And we, you know, they're, you know, and actually, I'll say it again, I loved Gerard Butler in this. He is so charming. Like, he is just fun to watch.
Some of his, like, diehard one-liners did make me laugh. There's a couple of that. I mean, some I laugh because they're so ridiculous and ill-placed, but some are, like, really funny.
Yeah. I mean, Hollywood, if you're listening, you need to get Gerard Butler in better movies. Like, he is that good.
And Gerard Butler, work on your accents.
Yeah, that's, well, that's
I say
true.
Just always make him Scottish.
Sean Connery can do it, why not? Sean Connery can do it, why not Gerard
just
Butler?
Don't try to give him a different accent. Just let him be Scottish in every movie.
He can be a Scottish, like, immigrant who, like, applies.
Well, then,
job.
Then his, like, super patriotic line at the end would be... Or
I guess it would undermine, like, that a
few
little.
Lines,
I guess.
Yeah.
Or he's an immigrant who fell in love with America?
Maybe, yeah. Sure. And we learn that Gerard Butler is working on a resignation letter from the Secret Service. A letter he works on literally for the entire film.
Which is kind
and
of a
like
lot
three
because
lines.
It's like one sentence. I hereby request that I can be resigned from service. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
And he's like, like up all night, like typing this thing.
And this is such a
weird... I feel like that was just like a stock resignation letter, like in Microsoft Word, like a template.
Yeah, he pulled up a template. When it's such a weird plot point, because I kept going... I don't know if this plot point really means anything, because I'm like, is this ever going to factor into the plot? And it was like, nope. Yeah. You literally could have just cut out a handful of scenes and, like, it wouldn't have, didn't need to exist at all.
But he realizes at the end that he's where he needs to be.
But
he figured
on the
that out
of
the first
letter.
One. Like,
no, he was hesitant the first time. Mm. Or the first movie, you mean.
Yeah. Well, I think it would. I thought he was writing this letter because he's like, hey, I've got a kid on the way and... Man, I'm getting shot at a lot, and I'm shooting a lot of people. Like, I'm murdering people. Is this
great
a
example
good
for my
idea?
Kid.
So I'm like, wow, I wonder how that's going to reconcile with this movie. And it's like, well, it really doesn't. Yeah. He's just like, I'm still pretty cool
it
with being shot
It was just a scheduling
at.
Concern.
Yeah.
It wasn't what he was doing. It was just that he was working too much.
When he was doing it, he didn't get the vacation time he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were setting up they were going to kill him off.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That's a cliche in
well,
movies
yeah,
where
I mean,
she's like, I'll be waiting with the baby.
The
and he, like, kisses her on the forehead, and I said out loud, I said, yep, he's going to die. And so I said, he's going to die, and he didn't.
Well,
which
I
was glad.
That.
I didn't want the character to die, but
well,
I assume that's where
they
were going.
I did say that a little later on when Angel Bassett is like, I'll be the godmother. And I was like, okay, she's going
to die.
Yeah.
I know that. She was gone. But I was half expecting it with...
It seemed to be, like, forced in, too, like bringing up the fact that she was the godmother. That was dragged out a little bit.
So now we learn that the...
That's like there's sounds of like chainsaws in the background right now.
I know. That's, yeah. No, don't worry. Jason is not chasing us right now.
I don't know what's going on out there.
We now learn that the London or the British Prime Minister died in his sleep.
Which the very first thing I said was he was totally murdered.
Oh, yeah. That was my first thing too. And everyone accepts this.
Well,
like, no one seems to question
when they
this.
Figure it out later on and they're like shocked. I was like, wait, you didn't... realize that.
How is this a shock? Yeah, exactly.
Morgan Freeman's like, wait a minute, it was a trap. And this is like the next day after the attacks.
Well, and literally it was just like, he was poisoned. And it's like, what? That couldn't be found out until days after
the funeral.
Yeah,
one would think that when an important individual like that dies, that there'd be immediate inquiries and inquests in the country would be at least on an alert status of some sort.
It's just kind of the first point of like, just sort of a dumb thing. It's handled very dumbly. Like, hey, audience, like, just move on. Don't look at this.
They need an excuse to get all of these people, all the leaders of the Western world, and that one Japanese guy that they forgot when they said that line, need to go to England to get them all into this area where they're going to get attacked. I mean, it couldn't be like a summit, like a G8 summit or something.
When they were going through all of these security concerns and how... you know, they can't make too many changes with their security, and it's all these different nations' security. I'm thinking, well, isn't that like every G8 summit? I mean,
well, can I ask you a question?
Or the Olympics?
Why was that a long scene? That sort of security planning scene, because the movie almost immediately undermines it by letting us know there was pretty much no security. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it was a really long time.
I think it was all to build up to Gerard Butler moving the schedule up, how they arrived two hours early, because then later. For like half a second, President Asher says, "If you hadn't moved our schedule up,"
he didn't even finish that.
I think it was all for that one, line of that's why President Asher survived as long as he did. Which
doesn't make sense. Everyone around him died too.
Well, if he was supposed to be dead right away, then why did they have the whole setup of executing him publicly?
It must have been done last minute. We could kill him online, I guess.
And if they were just going to kill him right away, were they then still going to go through this like incredibly elaborate thing in downtown London? I don't know. I don't know what their plan was.
It seemed to make more sense that their plan would be to blow up the building and kill as many diplomats as possible.
Right.
And then make some generic, widespread, worldwide threat.
Why didn't they just wait till the funeral was like happening and just bomb that? Because then they have to like bomb the bridge to kill the Japanese, president or whatever.
This is like
and they have to like blow up the cathedral or whatever to kill the one.
I love that the Canadian prime minister is like late. Now. Are they making a stab at Canada? Like, hey, we're stuck in traffic. We're gonna get there.
No, he wasn't. Like, there was like, he was just on a boat. He's like, we'll go.
No, that was the French guy.
That was the French
president. The guy wanted to be late. He said, "Let's wait another 10 minutes."
Yeah. Okay, the Canadian guy was.
Which if he had not waited 10 minutes, he would have survived.
The Japanese guy, but at first I was like, "Oh my God, is that a stupid joke?"
It was the Japanese.
Canadian prime minister was also in traffic. When they first showed the traffic scene, it showed the guy looking at his watch, and then he had a little Canadian flag, and he had that little identifier, such and such Canadian prime minister, and he's like, "Oh well, our daughter failed the road test. I guess we're going to blame the chauffeur or whatever."
Yeah.
And then they start laughing. And I'm like, are they seriously implying that, you know, everyone else gets flown in helicopters, but the Canadian prime minister was stuck in traffic with the rest of the
Japanese? No, the Canadian one was when they put the bomb under, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He arrives late, and the guy puts the bomb under, but the Japanese guy was stuck on the bridge.
He's on the bridge, yeah.
And the French one, like, because the French, president is kind of like, oh, let's wait 10 minutes. And I was like...
But how they know he was going to wait?
That's a slam on the French, but I don't even know if I understand it.
But then they knew he was going to wait 10 minutes because then they had a plan to blow him up with a boat.
Oh yeah, because they had the slowest moving boat going by. So somebody who planned that boat was like, knew that. "Hey man, that guy likes to be 10 minutes late.
He's French, we know.
He took our time."
Okay, so, and now we get introduced to the returning cast from Olympus Has Fallen. Morgan Freeman, we see Angela Bassett, who, by the way, looks fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she looks great. Yeah. And she is great in this. This, again, made me say, I really wish Angela Bassett was in more stuff. Because
she's in a lot of Stop the Movie movies.
She's in a lot of bad stuff. Unfortunately, I know. Why.
Well, I was thinking, like, we watched her in Supernova, which Supernova is either 99 or 2000. Mm-hmm. And she looks maybe even better in this than she did in Supernova.
Like she gets younger in every movie.
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman did get a scene with Gerard Butler, which he never got in Olympus Has Fallen.
Did you read the trivia, though?
No.
They weren't actually in the same scene together.
Are you kidding me?
Because of scheduling things... That scene was actually shot with doubles and then just edited. So they weren't actually on the set together.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. So, okay.
Technically, the two actors have not had a scene yet.
Oh my God. Okay. And this is in this stretch, as we were referencing earlier, is this movie, and I think Olympus Has Fallen did this too, is obsessed with lower third graphics, identifying who people in the movie are.
Which, when they went around and did that in the British room, I completely missed all the dialogue because I was reading all of the identifiers, and then I'm like, wait,
almost none of those. Saying? I think none only of two of the characters in that room ever show up again.
And certain parts, like the French guy in the boat, it's obvious he's the French prime minister.
Right.
The Canadian guy with the Canadian flag on his lapel, he's obviously the Canadian prime minister. The Japanese guy, he's obviously the Japanese prime minister.
I don't mind them identifying them, but like the some
to do like five in a row of people you don't need to know.
Just sitting on tables.
It was like this movie was produced by Al Pacino's character from 88 Minutes. Hey, who's that guy?
Johnny DeFranco.
I think we got to label it.
Someone obsessed with full names of everyone. Everyone's got to have a full name and a title. And it's just so much setup like this. And normally I wouldn't fault a movie for a lot of setup, but it's a lot of setup of characters that we don't really need to care about, quite frankly. Right. Like, and that we don't have future interaction with. And ironically, we don't get setup with a lot of the characters we should be getting interaction with.
Yeah, I wonder how they chose which characters were going to get that lower third identifier, because... Like, the MI6 agent that they meet up with later on doesn't get one.
That guy who should have absolutely been established as a character. Yeah. Sorry.
Wait, which one?
No, she's talking about
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're thinking... Well, the other one, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
she didn't get one.
She didn't get one. The guy who Gerard Butler ends up meeting up with later in the movie...
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get one either.
He totally should have been established.
He should have been,
And the girl should have been established. And the guy who turns out to be a traitor...
He was established.
He was... To a degree.
But with her, though, with, like, the female MI6 agent, they actually did, like... actual setup for her, like, oh, this is my friend, blah blah blah, and she's MI6 or whatever. So they actually get like legitimate.
That's true.
And just then, like, they also
give her nothing to do.
She finds them all.
You don't see her discovering anything. She just kind of comes up later. She's like,
after everything is over, I confront you. Did it like in the drawing room after the end of the night when the detective points everybody out.
They do. Well, we'll get into her because like she really frustrated me in what I thought she could have been an interesting character, and then they just sort of are like. I mean, yeah, she could have been, but, you know, we're just going to say, hey, this chick's smarter than everyone else in MI6, but we're not going to actually let her do anything cool.
Yeah.
You know, she's just smart. I know. So now we keep jumping way ahead.
Well, I like that they show the security so tight. There's this little girl that wants to give a white rose to the German prime minister or president, who we know because, of course, it said her name. And some security guy like went to block her, and then she said, "Oh no, let her through." And here I thought the most horrible thing. Oh my god, is this movie going to establish that this little girl is a bomb?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not that I want to see that.
But I think they were hoping you to feel that at least.
I think they were, and that was kind of not ineffective of like kind of set you up and like, "Oh my god, is this girl bomb?" And then hit you with the real intent,
which is the guy you don't realize is the Queen's palace guard starts.
Which. How in the world?
Let's think. We have a
level of infiltration here. Is
we
insane.
Have to talk about this.
This is like Summer's Isle sent them from the Wicker Man.
This is
like 6 years in advance.
This makes the Wicker Man look simple because every one of the palace guards was in on this plan. Do you know what that would have
taken? Plus
like half
the cops at least.
There are hundreds of cops, EMTs, Buckingham Palace guards.
Firefighters. It appears that it's 75% of the police were in on this. Yeah. And the other 25 seemed content to just watch.
Although one of the lines later on, said by the guy at the head of Scotland Yard, implies that all of those people were imposters, not that they were actual police and guards.
They just rolled up in uniform and were waved in.
Yeah. So what about all the other policemen that were supposed to be there?
they were just like, oh, well, maybe there's a scheduling conflict. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
Well, they do, and we're jumping ahead a little bit. But at one point, one of the big MI6 guys is like, well. How are we going to know the real cops from the fake cops? And I'm like, I think the real cops are going to know who the real cops are. Like, the people they work with every day. You know, if you went into your job and we were like, oh, how can I tell who really works here? You're like, I don't know. Who are the people who were here yesterday? Like,
and how did they not notice all morning that all of these people, like, what happened to the other group of Buckingham Palace guards that should have been there at that time instead of those imposters? Like, the police, the guy next to them. Yeah. Isn't really a cop.
That nobody was like, hey, I've never seen you before. Ever. You know? funny to be meeting you here and everyone else around me, apparently.
Yeah. Is this like a massive transfer happened or something? Yeah. I don't know.
So then, bombs everywhere. Bombs are going off.
God, there's explosions galore. I think they copy-pasted this explosion effect.
Yeah, there's just like, it's just, at one point, like we said, the French president, a boat of bombs drives by.
Yep.
And goes off.
Drive-by boat bombing.
Yeah. Although, one line that bothered me was in the reporter exposition afterwards when the newscaster is explaining what happened. Which even the newscaster, I forget who it is, but he's a real one, and he looks depressed as he's reading it. Yeah. But he says... something about the bombs have devastated almost all of the known landmarks of London. I only saw three.
Got to hit your landmarks. Yeah.
There
you
are lots and lots
city.
Of landmarks
it was
in London.
It was London Bridge, Westminster Abbey, and Parliament. Yeah. Westminster Abbey. And that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Did they hit
more.
The London Eye?
No.
Oh. Big there Ben was a lot okay. more landmarks.
You see,
in
that
London.
Was an opportunity to get that sucker rolling because Sharknado did it first, though.
But there was no. World leader.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There may have been that Russian guy was like taking his girlfriend around.
No, that was the Italian guy.
Yeah. I was Italian.
That and they were.
I didn't understand my languages there. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying close attention.
They were in Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
Well,
they were hit.
It was very clear because I did find it funny.
At that point, I was not paying attention. At that point, I was like sending an email or something.
Fair enough.
Like there was a part where I checked out. Like I was like, "Oh, what's going on?" I had to send an email.
During the terrorist attack, Jack's like, "Ah, this I don't need to pay."
I've seen this before.
So I thought, "Oh, that must be the Russian guy," because they talked about the Russian president not being there, right?
Did they maybe?
I think they did.
And he wasn't speaking in Italian; he was speaking in an accent. And I was like, "This just must be the Russian guy who was blown off the funeral."
And it was clearly supposed to be Berlusconi with the young girlfriend.
Oh.
And, like they, and the German chancellor looked a lot like Angela.
And
her name was Angela something.
Yeah. You're right.
They were clearly trying.
It might have been Angela Merkel.
They look like the real ones.
So things go all crazy, and Gerard Butler, like, you know, kind of grabs President Aaron Eckhart, and there's kind of a funky shootout there. Again...
Lots of blood.
Tons of blood. All the cops appear to be fake. The real cops, they keep cutting to occasionally like real cops getting shot who 3 or 4 minutes into this shootout are still just standing there kind of like looking at things, you know. But they're able to get President Aaron Eckhart back into a vehicle.
And this just turns into a Bond chase at this point.
Well, I was assuming that was this one of the bulletproof cars, like a presidential escort vehicle.
This one wasn't. No. I think that's the second car chase.
The one later on was, but just because one guy gets shot up while he's driving it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it is. No, maybe because at one point, somebody's got to explain this to me because they seem to be establishing that the car has bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't.
Oh, because that windshield is taking hits. And Gerard Butler's just kind of like driving intensely. Because
that
bullet
one guy gets, the driver gets shot up at one point, doesn't he?
He does get shot up, but they also don't really show like the window's breaking right. when they're shot.
Maybe they just have him open.
But then a guy on a motorcycle, his helmet hits the window.
Yeah, he like bursts
and
through.
He comes through. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
Helmet.
Small arms fire can't go through a car windshield.
I just didn't understand this window. They do make it, so they get President Aaron Eckhart to these helicopters that the same ones they came in on, right?
Yeah, it's Marine One.
Okay. They get to those, and I'm like, okay.
Marine One, Two,
all right.
And Three.
Which is so silly, because that's not, Marine One is where the President is, Marine Two is where the VP is.
It's not the vehicle itself, it's the location's code name.
Right. And the terrorists, meanwhile,
technically the cars were
talking about all the security stuff that they...
No, the Marine One is for a helicopter.
Yeah.
That they show... how in-depth the Americans, security is, and that all these helicopters ready to go, and, all this precaution, and everyone else is just, like, driving across bridges and sitting on boats and stuff. Like, everyone else looks dumb, but we Americans are like...
They've got all
the security.
Oh, yeah, they're not defending themselves.
We take care of our president.
Yeah.
And then, so at the same time, we kind of cut back to the terrorists, who I still am a little shaky on who some of them are. I'm like, because again, it's so mumbly that I'm like, okay, I think it's that main terrorist's kid.
I think it's his sons,
Okay, it's
his one son, because his other son has his legs blown off and he's like in the wheelchair.
Okay.
So the other one's like the main.
He's the main, right.
Yeah, he's the one planner. Who's out there shooting rockets and stuff.
Okay. And the terrorists are like cutting power all over the city, cutting power to MI6, which really MI6 seems pretty casual about all of this, like in that headquarters.
Well, because their leader is in on it.
Is that guy the leader?
He's high up in MI6.
He was high up, but he wasn't like the...
He was the one sitting in the briefing room.
That's
for
true.
All the identifying. So I think one of those guys has infiltrated.
Something. But I did laugh because there was a shot where you see all this destruction, all this shit blowing up, and then they cut to them watching it like on the screens. They're all just kind of sitting there watching it, like
they're kind of watching it like we're watching.
Yeah.
It.
And then one of them's like, oh no, or something like that. But no one's like freaking out, like oh my god, they just blew up, you know, the Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
And the most Parliament of the known landmarks of London.
All of our landmarks are gone.
I don't think really until much later in the film does anybody say like, hey, like we got to scramble the military, or I'm like, we got to get some like legitimate cops in here or something. Like, let's look into the rest of those palace guards. Like, what's happening here? And
So they're in the helicopters.
Yeah.
And then Rocket. RPG hits one of the helicopters.
An RPG hits, and oh my god. So they're launching Stinger missiles from the rooftop of a building in London. This movie also kind of wants us to believe that this is happening in a world where the Marine helicopters have no weapons on them either. They're like, oh no.
They had flares.
Yeah, that guy is shooting rockets at us. I mean, we can't take that guy out. Yeah. Like this.
Well, that's why, because Gerard Butler like points them out. He's like, there's one there. And I thought like someone was going to
shoot him.
Open fire. Yeah, but they're like, fire the flares.
Also, they planned this attack, but they also have guys, just sitting there with rocket launchers, just waiting, just in case anyone escapes by helicopter?
I guess so. And at this point, there's a part of me that's like, why are the U.S. helicopters just flying right through the center of London?
Yeah.
Like, you would be like, get away from this city that is, full of bombs.
Yeah.
And at low altitude. I mean, they're flying pretty low. It's like a sightseeing tour. So it's still actually as an action sequence.
It's a good action sequence.
It's good, and another helicopter goes down. Finally,
One sacrifices itself.
That's right, to try to block
sacrifice maneuver, and it like gets in front of the, because there are a lot of flares.
Yeah, and then
they get hit anyways.
The main helicopter gets hit, and the helicopter carrying Gerard Butler, Angela Bassett, and Aaron Eckhart goes down.
Mm-hmm.
They are dead. I mean, they are dead.
Well, they show that helicopter.
I did kind of like the scene inside the helicopter as they were crashing. That's not something that you usually get. I liked
that quite a bit.
Flying around. That was a good scene.
And I know they kind of like, to try to make this seem plausible, I know they have like Gerard Butler like pull some kind of emergency lever.
The emergency chute like fills the hole. It blows up and fills the hole in the back of the blown up helicopter.
But I mean, they crash. I mean, this helicopter crashes, you know. And Aaron Eckhart and Gerard Butler are like, hey man, you okay? Yeah. I'm like, you are not okay. There is no way anyone is just okay.
Well, Angela Bassett took the big hit, so.
Angela Bassett dies. She has like a piece of metal going through her, which I was actually kind of sad because I thought they might kill her too, but I was sort of hoping that this was going to be like a three-person crew going through London. It was going to be like Angela Bassett, Aaron Eckhart, and Gerard Butler. Because I was totally, I was totally down for that. But
so one thing that really bothered me about Angela Bassett's character throughout the helicopter ride, the car chase, she's the head of Secret Service, and she was screaming in fear.
She was terrified. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, and they did throw in the line of it's easier to plan this than to be part of it. But if you're the head of Secret Service, you've probably worked your way up through the ranks. You should have been in something that kind of bothered me that they have her screaming in terror.
Yeah, you have Gerard Butler keeping his calm, even the president. He's scared, but he's not. But then they cut to Angela Bassett and she's crying and
And she seemed to be very minimal help even during the escape, like from the funeral.
I don't think she did anything. No,
which I was kind of like, well, I mean, she has to be trained,
right?
Like you say, his head. I'm like, come on, like
she's probably been behind a desk for a while.
Yeah,
doesn't get too much field work.
I guess that's true.
So they sent her on the super dangerous mission.
Yeah, exactly. So now it comes out, because we're seeing now Robert Forster and Melissa Leo and the other characters from the first
that
movie.
That I completely forgot.
How did Robert Forster, by the way, because it seemed to
he
be
wasn't
the lesson.
In much, was he?
He's not in it.
Because he popped up in there and I was like, oh, right, that's right, Robert Forster. And then I don't remember any other scenes
with him. Robert Forster only gets a couple of lines of dialogue, and like there's a just lot too many of people in that shots. Room. Melissa Leo, I think, only has like two lines of dialogue.
Did she say anything?
At one point, when they figure out where the bad guy's hideout is, it's like Melissa Leo's big scene, and like I was like, wow, she's really like making the most of it too.
Yeah, this has too many people. It's like if you just gave that all those tasks to like the two, you know.
Well, I don't know why they added Jackie Earle Haley because they didn't.
He just I don't think he stood up. He just sat there the whole time, like.
Yeah, and they didn't need him.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't know.
But it kind of comes out of like I still was a little wary of why the terrorists were so focused on the U.S. president.
Because it was the U.S. that the drones killed his
family. Right. But now let's get this, right? So a U.S. drone strike kills this guy's family. He wants revenge against the U.S. Then why infiltrate the British government to set up this massive plot to have half the British police force be on your side so they could kill the prime minister to draw hundreds of diplomats out, or at least dozens of diplomats out, so that you could kill them all? And then, oh wait, the president escaped. And then last minute, let's torture him on public.
I was wondering if this was a case where like there's...
And on the internet.
Something went wrong with the editing or the writing, or there was a deleted scene or something.
Which might also explain the lack of dialogue in the boardroom scenes.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, in all that reporter exposition explaining what terrorism is, they were talking about how there was a theory that he was trying to incite war between different countries to up his sales.
Yeah.
So maybe that was part of it.
Maybe.
In addition to wanting to kill the U.S. president, they just wanted to create war.
That's a classic Bond villain plot. Yeah.
Get two sides.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah,
that's like three James Bond movies right there at least. Yeah. Let's get two countries to fight each other.
So actually, that is your classic Bond villain guy who sells weapons, who wants to sell weapons to both sides of the war.
He starts a war. Yeah.
So Dr. No. He's trying that. He's trying that from Russia with Love.
Well, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Trying it in Tomorrow Never Dies, except he's not. Mogul. Yeah, it's not a Spectre agent.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much all of them except for Moonraker, basically, because Moonraker is just
mega crazy. He's trying it in The Spy Who Loved Me. He just doesn't want anyone to survive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, so now...
So they crash, and then, like, immediately there's, like, an armada of... I don't know if that's the... Is that a boat word?
There's a biker gang that comes out.
A biker gang.
I mean, but there's a lot of, like... These bikes.
This is like every biker
they were like ready to go, like
there
right at the crash scene.
There's an endless wave of bad guys in this movie.
Oh, yes.
Like there
it's
are
like a video game.
Thousands
They're
of bad
spawning
guys.
All
Wait,
over.
It really is. Because late in this movie, I was like, this is kind of like a live action first person shooter.
Yeah.
With like the non playable characters of like just waves you know, generic villains. Yeah. That you
and
need
it's like
to
these guys
down.
Can catch a break. You'd think that this is a moment where there's going to be some levity and they're going to have some time to find a safe house, but they're just standing there and oh, no.
Yeah.
Here comes the motorcycles.
They outrun it.
I'm glad. I hope you wore comfortable shoes, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're on the run.
He's wearing comfortable shoes.
And I'm going to jump forward a little bit because they keep wanting to bring in the Morgan Freeman, Melissa Leo, Robert Forster, like, you know.
Subplot.
Yeah. But it really, in this movie, becomes kind of unnecessary because they don't really do much. Like, at one point, they get, like, a satellite image. Mm-hmm. And they look at a satellite image, they're like, look at that. Gerard Butler's carrying a gun in his left hand, and they are somehow able to
six
translate
fingers.
That into MI6, which I'm like, all right, we're really stretching here, guys.
Well, because, I mean, they're all in Washington, in America, and they're in London, so that can't really...
Well, it's
I mean, you know, like Morgan Freeman did say, like, oh, where's the closest, you know, whatever, like, fighter jets or whatever.
Well, it's also kind of dumb, because you're like... I could have been in that room. And
that's
you're
all
like,
you can do.
I wonder where Gerard Butler's going. I don't know. MI6. Like, what are his other options? Like, it's there or Panera? I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I also wondered about that whole. There's always a drone over the president. Yeah. Like, there probably is, but they went down into the subway.
Yeah, like next
how would
the
drone
the
then find the president after that?
Yeah, that didn't add up, and never comes back. By
nope.
the way,
yeah.
I
no,
kept
no.
thinking like that was sort of
again
a setup.
sort of a drone setup that might have something to do with the story, and it really doesn't.
Yeah, really doesn't. somewhere in here is where we get the news that the prime minister was poisoned. We get the whole thing of how can we tell the difference between the good guys and bad guys. Again, I would go so far as to say, I don't know, look at him. Be like, do you know that guy or not? You know.
So then they clear out all the real police. Like they tell all the real police to leave London.
Pretty
just
much.
By just yeah. sounding yeah. The air sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, because if we sound the air sign, then all the police
would
leave.
The foreign terrorists wouldn't know what to do if they heard an air raid siren.
But why would... Why, is that, like, the secret? Like, if any time an air raid siren goes off, all the police just leave?
I
think
understand.
The air raid siren was more for people to stay in their houses.
But that was in the conversation where they were talking about
the old school
the police,
alarm system
though.
From the 40s that's still up and running. Let's get it cranked yeah. up.
Because he said, we'll sound the air siren, everyone will go in their houses, and then we'll go door to door and shoot all the terrorists.
But why would the terrorist shelter in place?
I was like, I don't know if that is how that's going to work.
So that was all very confusing.
Yeah.
But here they catch one of the terrorists, like, in the subway or whatever, was, I think he was one of the brothers. They may have said.
Yeah. Yes. He was a brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, like, tortures him because he's got the radio. And
he starts threatening the president. We're going to kill the president on the internet. And he said, you're going to
assume
that your brother, Diane. And he starts twisting the knife. I was like, this is great.
Because it's real. Sorry, this movie's real violent.
It's brutal.
And this is the
really?
First
it's
time.
It's a good scene. It's just a brutal scene.
It's
yeah.
brutal. And for the first of two times in this movie, a character says to Gerard Butler, like, hey, man, hey, is that necessary?
You don't really have to do that. Yeah.
The line didn't make me laugh when the president's like, was that really necessary? And he's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, all right.
He's the lone gunman sociopath action movie killer hero.
Well, he does.
From the
80s. Stabs like two or three guys to death. And like, that's commitment to stab a guy to death.
I mean, he just throat stabs people. Like, this is honestly, like, I've seen it's good we're doing this in October because I've seen like Friday the 13th style slasher films that have less violent deaths.
Oh, God,
yeah. Gerard Butler might as well have picked up a terrorist, put him in a sleeping bag, and like bashed him against a tree. So at some point, they do make it to the MI6 safe house.
Yep. Yeah.
And this scene, like, something must have, in script rewrites, something went awry in this scene. Because they come into the MI6 safe house to meet a lady who is so relaxed to be seeing the President of the United States. Like, could not be more relaxed. And
actually, she seems kind of like, okay, whatever.
And Gerard Butler seems to know her. He's like, oh, this is Jacqueline.
We must have worked together before.
Yeah. We worked together back in Constantinople has fallen. okay, so maybe, like, this lady is, like, a super agent, you know, with MI6, and like,
I thought at the very least she would be like the bad guy or like a double agent.
Well, I really expected the MI6 safe house to be a trap.
Yeah, yeah. I thought
something's going on here. But they're all just like real cool, and they're like, all right, so let's chill out here in this safe house. And I'm like, well, I guess if this is what was happening, like, this is not the worst plan. Like, Gerard Butler, president. Chill in this MI6 safe house. This lady seems to know what's going on. There's this other MI6 guy who seems kind of on the ball. Okay. And it basically then turns into, like, fair game where they're using the credit card to call for pizza. Like, somebody, like, puts it out there, like, hey, we've got the president in this safe house.
Well, because they get... Well,
they intercept
receive,
Morgan Freeman's message where he talks about the 7-pound mackerel.
Yeah, they receive the message from Washington... because they knew they were going to MI6, so they sent this message to MI6, and then the terrorists intercepted the message.
Okay.
So they knew they were going to MI6.
Last minute, they went to the Army surplus and dressed up like, you know, a SWAT team.
Found exact replicas of
they're
a
not,
Delta team uniform.
They're not real SWAT because they're not sweating.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought, like, SWAT teams needed to have their faces, men on SWAT teams need to have their faces shaven so they can wear gas masks and they get the seal.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that that's, like, in the military why there's facial hair regulations.
Yeah.
And they all had beards. I thought that was where they're going to go with it. Beards, no. Regulation says they need to be clean shaven for the gas masks if they needed to go into a spot where they need a gas mask. But instead, he's like, no, wait, they're not sweating. That's 40 pounds of gear. Zoom in. And they zoom into the back of the guy's neck. No sweat. And I was like, yes!
But can we... I think we skipped over one hilariously stupid part of the MI6 safe house scene. The water.
Yeah.
I really thought that water was going to be poisoned. The way Gerard Butler just downed it. I thought, like, okay, he drank his whole glass. The president only had a sip. Like, Gerard Butler's going to be down and out for a while. And the president's going to have to step up and save Gerard Butler.
And then the MI6 girl was the bad guy.
Yeah, I really thought that...
It was such a weird moment. Like, I almost feel like when they were shooting it on the day, I bet, like, Gerard Butler was like,
Really thirsty?
Hey, well, no, I bet it, like he was like, "Hey, director man, I'm gonna drink this water weird. Like, I think that should be a thing." Mike, and probably just nobody said no.
Explain why your character would drink that water strange, and yeah. I will allow you to do it. Yeah. He gave a convincing
My favorite
argument.
Thing yeah. about this scene where he says, "I'm thirsty as fuck," or whatever, yeah. is that they use that scene as just that part of that scene as a teaser trailer.
Yes,
the first teaser trailer I saw was just that scene, like him getting the water, and I don't know about you, but I'm really hell. And then it just like, London is falling. And it was like, wow. It was like a Red Band trailer because he swears yeah. in it. But I was like, I have to see this movie. This is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, just a strange, strange moment.
Yeah.
So now they know that non-sweaty terrorists are coming in. Well, just completely fresh, not fresh you know, not perspirating terrorists
Another
are coming
wave
in.
Of
it smelled like Axe body spray. We can, you're not real military. We're running up and down the streets.
Well, so now I'm like, okay, they've set up this lady, Jacqueline, as like the toughest lady in MI6. What's she going to do now?
She's going to
And
leave.
Gerard Butler's like, hey, hit the road. And I'm like, what?
I thought she was taking the president with her.
Why?
But then they leave, and then
the
president walks in.
I know.
With a gun. I'm like, oh wait, I thought they were.
Why is she not taking the president with her? Yeah. Like, this made no sense to me. Where he's like, hey, you get to safety.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I'll take the most important man in the Western Hemisphere with me to fight these guys. Like, something like went awry there. So I'm like, okay.
Is this where they get to come out of the closet line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, after Gerard Butler, well, Batman's too. A few
yeah,
guys.
There was, the other,
a couple line. Of good one-liners.
Yeah, the other line I like here, too, was when he...
You can play it quip really well.
When he's like, oh, I'm, you know, just wait here for me. I'm going to go out there. And he's like, what if you don't come back? And he's like, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
things like that. Like, no, he's good at the
one-liners.
Really he's
great. Yeah. Gerard Butler's great in those. Those are there's a lot of fun moments like that in this movie where I was like, okay.
More so than the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, he's fighting a lot of these guys like Batman style or like brutally killing them. And then the president actually has to step out and kill one.
Yeah.
The president's and Aaron Eckhart's a little freaked out and like instantly Gerard Butler starts cracking jokes, like, which I really liked. But yeah.
I was wondering when you're going to come out of the closet, but and then the president's like, that's not funny.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that. So now, and then we learn Jacqueline just comes walking into MI6 headquarters, which at point I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, so she could have just brought the president to, like, MI6 true. Headquarters.
And she doesn't walk in like, the president's under siege again, fake Delta showed up. She just walks in like, we got a mole.
She is super chill all day, every day, apparently. Like, yeah, she just walks in, she's like, hey, I think we got a mole. And then proceeds to just kind of like sit down and like watch TV for a while. And she's not even saying, she doesn't even say to anybody like, hey man, I just saw the president.
Yeah.
Like, and he's with one Secret Service guy. And I know right where they were. And there was like 25 terrorists coming after them. She doesn't even impart that information to anybody.
Right.
Well, because there's a mole. So if she tells anybody.
I guess that's,
But she told the mole that she knows there's a mole.
As soon as she told that guy, I'm like, oh, he's the mole.
And
they try to stop the other guy, but I'm like, come on.
The other guy's a red herring. But then she doesn't even do anything. I kind of kept thinking that she was going to go all like James Bond. And she was going to go to MI6 headquarters, grab some guns, and be like,
that's their hero character.
Yeah, I'm taking care of this. Nope. She just...
She checks some access codes and...
She, like, logs into a computer and, like, apparently is the only person in MI6 who's like, hey, who's logged in? You know? Like,
Well, because earlier the terrorists turned off their CCTV, apparently. And, like, she just comes in and just turns it back on.
Yeah,
which... Like, no one else, like, tried to do that, I guess?
Everyone at MI6 is like, how did you do that? She's like, just logged in, you know?
And nobody thought she was the mole.
Right. If she had said, Control-Alt-Delete, I would have been amazing. So now the president and Aaron Eckhart get into this sort of second car chase.
Yeah, because they take one of MI6's cars, which is a bulletproof.
That's right.
Bulletproof.
Yeah. That's
Wait, is this the one... Isn't this... This is not really a car chase. This is them mowing down.
It's not really. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not really a chase. They sort of like, it's almost like their version of like the chariot from Hercules, where they're just kind of like trying to mow people down.
Yeah, that's where the president of the United States just drives people down with
and driven car. 6 years.
Yeah, they make the car, the driving car joke. This is where I felt like Aaron Eckhart watched White House Down and said, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because the president character in White House Down got to do gunfighting and crazy driving and all that kind of stuff. And in, you know, in Olympus Has Fallen, Aaron Eckhart really just sat there and got tortured.
Yeah.
So I feel like he went, no, I want the action stuff in the next one.
And I do feel like Melissa Leo is like, I'll be in your movie, but can I not be being tortured for 85% of my on-camera scenes?
Sure, but you also get no lines.
Yeah, they're like, all right, but we don't know what to do with your character. If we're not yanking you by your hair endlessly, we don't know what else to do. So they seem to go into like a terrorist trap, although it's weird because it seems like Gerard Butler had some inclination it was a trap or something.
Well, because they're trying to get to MI6, and the president's like, well, they're going to have that place surrounded. And he's like, yeah, well, we have no other choice. We have to get there.
Okay.
So that's when they get there. We just have to bust through this because we have to get to MI6.
Okay. I think it was the embassy.
You're right. It was the embassy. Yeah. Okay. So they do actually bust through these terrorists, and then they get hit by this giant truck.
Yeah. Because they said as they started celebrating. So clearly they were about to get hit by
a bus. I was like, are you going to get hit by a bus? And they did.
Yeah. And then
it's very Alex Cross when they come out of the garage.
That strategy is very effective. So the terrorists take the president, and
I was wondering at this point because the president had told Gerard Butler a long time ago, like, don't let them take me, kill me if they're going to take me, because he doesn't want to be executed in front of everyone. So Gerard Butler now is like mid-concussion, can't really see straight, but grabs his gun and starts shooting. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if he was shooting at the president or the terrorists.
I was wondering how they're going to handle that too. And they just sort of punted on it, I think, a little bit.
They never brought it back at all, aside from that moment. So that's why I was wondering if he was trying to shoot the president.
And so then as the terrorists are taking the president, you're seeing all these other guys with guns very slowly approaching. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, more terrorists are coming. How is Gerard Butler going to... And I'm like, nope, those guys who were very slowly watching terrorists take the president were British Special Forces.
Yeah, and this is while Gerard Butler is torturing another terrorist.
Because for like, the second time, one of the Special Forces guys is like, hey man, hey, let's take it down. Let's take it down. Yeah. That guy's a terrorist.
Well, he's trying to get information out of where they're taking the president.
Right.
And like you said, the other guy's like, but he's like, he's legitimately trying to find where the president is going right now. And
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
And it feels like the geography then got a little confusing for me. Because they're in London. That was about the only thing I understood. Because we also get the scene where Melissa Leo and them are like, yay, Britain, we have determined where the bad guys are.
This movie is so like America is great. It's like, you know, Morgan Freeman's like, oh, we figured out where. Yeah. It's like the New Scotland Yard and MI6 or whatever couldn't figure out.
Yeah, like, hey, Britain, however long you've been around, we'll tell you how to run your country.
But they took like 45 minutes and they figured out where the terrorists.
Well, not to mention, too, that immediately the Gerard Butler is like, hey, British Special Forces, I'm just a dude who's wearing a suit and tie and I've been dropped on my head all day, but I'll take over command of your unit. You work for me now? And they're all like, hey, I guess we do. You know, that guy we just met calls the shots now. But I guess the president was taken to a building very close by. It seemed like
Central
London was where their headquarters was. Yeah.
Okay, because it seemed like
building.
Gerard Butler and the Special Forces guys
they walked like two blocks.
I would disagree. I would say there was a bunch of time that passed because Gerard Butler now has gear.
That's true.
So they geared him up, and he's he's recovered from his concussion. And he's fine now.
He's fine. Well, he's already taken one fall that should have killed him, and he's going to take another fall that definitely should have killed him. But
well, this scene was cool because I think we were talking about earlier, it's all like one continuous
incredibly impressed by this gunfight outside the bad guy's headquarters.
This was really
where they're going down like an alleyway, and then stuff's blown up, and he ends up like going into a building, and it's all like one.
The camera's swinging around. I mean, the one blight on this whole scene is RPG because they have to shout it out. But I actually stopped and rewound and timed it, and it's 2 minutes without an edit of this really impressive gunfight with explosions.
Which they're also shooting at night. Yeah. Which I was like, that's pretty, because even like when you look at like the great gunfight scenes, like a Heat or like scenes like that, and they did it in the day, like they were doing this at night too. Like yeah. that's not bad.
Unlike Cold Light of Day, where it was all day for night.
It was all blue day for filters. Night. Just blue, just a blue filter on the lens.
Cold day for night.
Yeah. And at one point, and this is when the movie started to feel like a first-person shooter, and it started to feel like the Special Forces guy was like that voice yeah. that like talks yeah, to you because yeah. he's like, "There's a generator on the second floor. We've got to knock it out." And I'm like, okay, like there might as well be like a highlighted area where you're like, okay,
yeah, the mini map. Like, you got the mini map.
Yeah, yeah. And they blow up a generator. So now the new ticking clock that the movie is using is basically the terrorists being
they
like,
had to sign back online.
Do we have Wi-Fi? Do we have Wi-Fi?
So yeah, I can't kill the president yet.
Yeah, because it's.
I can't kill the president until we have Wi-Fi, a secure Wi-Fi yeah. connection, and we can get on YouTube.
We must put this on yeah. YouTube.
Because when the scene started, it was like 7:50, and they're going to kill the president at 8:00 on yes. the internet. So yeah. by the time he gets into the building, it's like 7:50. Like all of a sudden, like a thing pops up like 7:55.
I kept like wanting him to be like, "Why 8:00?" And I wanted to have a terrorist to be like, "Hey, prime viewership, man. Like, you know, don't I don't
well,
want
the time difference with America. It's like
it's syndicated yeah. programming from 7:30 to right. 8. I mean, it's just the audience isn't there. Right.
You know, about 8:00 local time or U.S. Yeah. time. Or,
they used the Halloween three.
They were there. Daylight shifted. For, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So when he gets in the building, there's 5 minutes left, and they're still working on their Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So he's got to get like, does he go have to go up or
doesn't
down?
Somebody else keeps, say like, just
I did not understand yeah. what yeah. direction he was, because at times he seems to be trying to go up and then other times
and then he falls like, straight through
he's
the floor
just jumping to yeah. the floor yeah. Yeah.
going down so it, yeah. it was
so I didn't know yeah. if he ended up in the basement or what he was I didn't know where he was going but.
I don't know yeah and he and some of this was again pretty cool because he's got like night vision on and he's taken out terrorists mm-hmm. And then there's a kind of a cool scene where all of a sudden the terrorists get their backup generator on, and he's just standing in the middle of this hallway, and they're like, "Hey!" Yeah. Like they end up just shooting each other because yeah. he jumps out of the way. Right. But he and then while they're live on YouTube, Gerard Butler comes busting in, shooting up terrorists, and
which I thought Aaron Eckhart did a good job in that scene. I like President Asher in that scene of you know he's not saying anything. But then I kind of laughed at when they flipped to this being broadcast live in Times Square.
Yeah. yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. How
would they put that up in
Times
Square? Who
yeah.
would put that up in Times Square? Yeah. Like, I get when they do, like, the aliens come in and they hijack the signal and it goes on every screen everywhere.
Yeah.
But
that's like alien technology.
Who's running
we all
the billboards in Times Square?
Can you imagine the producer who's like, "Quick, take this. They might execute the president live."
Are the LED billboards on the highway showing it?
I mean, yeah.
Gas station TV is like, "Oh, quick, we've got to get this up." Yeah. So weird. Yeah, that was so weird.
Kids playing their Game Boy DS.
Yeah. And so the main bad guy escapes. And Gerard, like they're because the guy who had his legs blown off, he rolls a grenade on the ground and it kind of disrupts everything.
I think it just kills the guy who threw the grenade too. Everyone else seems so.
I think
they seem totally fine.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the other
it's
guy
an ironic
runs away.
Death, killed by his own. Yeah.
So then the president and Gerard Butler get like kind of pinned down because now terrorists have them.
I thought that he was going to grab the other terrorist and like throw him on the grenade.
Yeah.
I thought
that's
so
what I
too.
Thought.
Yeah,
and
that's
that would have been a really cool scene and would have definitely been a better way to get out of this movie. So when they get the two of them pinned down, it's like Gerard Butler's kind of like, "I've got a plan." Because earlier he'd been planting explosives and he told that Special Forces guy like, "Hey, when I call in, press this button on this detonator." And so they detonate all the gas lines in the building. And Gerard Butler just grabs the president and blindly
just jumps on like an elevator
just
shaft.
Just blindly jumps down. Like, I don't even know if he knew it was an elevator shaft. I think they like went through wood. He had no idea what was on the other side and it was just like, "I guess we'll just see what happens."
And it was the slowest moving explosion fire.
Because
they have to run a little bit before they get to that spot that he jumps through the wall, and they're outrunning fire.
Yeah. Luckily, the frame rate on the fire was pretty slow too.
It reminded me of that scene in Independence Day when the dog jumps from the fire when it's coming out, because they it's like coming down the hall, they jump out to the side and through the doorway.
It also reminded me of that scene in the most recent Die Hard movie? Is it Live Free or Die Hard?
Yeah, it is.
When John McClane
is...
Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah.
When they just dive out of a window.
It is old.
Do you remember when they just like dive out of a window and they're like, "I will escape this way."
Yeah.
And they had no way of knowing what was on the other side of the window.
Luckily there was a pool down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, whoa, like those two guys just went down an elevator shaft. I'm like, that's a pretty grim ending that the president and like the top secret service agent have broken necks at the bottom of an elevator shaft.
No, they're fine.
But no, they're fine.
They survived the helicopter crash.
And walk out on their own. Yeah. I mean, like that's nuts. And at this point, then there's this kind of cool moment, or it's supposed to be a cool moment between Gerard Butler and the Special Forces guy, where he's like, hey, man, great job. And I'm like, again, we literally don't know this guy. Like, I have no idea who he is.
We'll take it anyway.
Yeah. And then I'm kind of watching, and I'm like, oh, there's still like 10 minutes of movie. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, let's see where this goes.
I have to get the revenge against the guy who planned it.
Well, yeah, at this point, because you know there's still a mole that they're going to have to, you know,
tie that loose end, and then the guy in the suit the terrorist is controlling guy. Everything. Yeah.
So Jacqueline wraps up the mole character by going up to the guy who, you know, that she'd been saying, and she's like, hey, and he's like in the parking garage trying to get away, and she's like, hey, I was looking at the access codes. Like, you're the mole, man. I know it. And he's like, yeah. Like, he doesn't even really deny it. He's kind of like, you got me. You know? And then she's kind of like, get on the ground. And he's just, because this guy just looks like a dentist. Like, he's not a tough-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he just kind of keeps walking towards his car. And she, like, just straight up, like, shoots him in the head.
Yeah, because like, there's a gun, like, in the back of the car.
And was there?
I thought it was a bomb.
Oh, did they?
I thought there was a bomb and he was going to set, like, a car bomb.
They show a shot of the money and there's a gun on top of it.
Okay.
And he basically just, like, looks at the gun and she pops him in the head.
Well, she assumes...
Like, you could have stopped him some other way.
You could have literally...
He was, like, he's, like, 20 feet from the gun.
And she's, like, 3 feet from him. She literally could have just shot him in the kneecap. Like, point blank shot him in the kneecap. Like, it was just seemed harsh.
Yeah.
Because also I'm thinking, like... They might want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Figure out what's going on. How this went down. Like, how many leaks are in the frickin' British government?
I always wonder if stuff like this, like, the true aftermath, wouldn't everyone assume that she did it and was blaming him because now he's not alive to answer? And it wasn't just a one shot. It was that classic spy thing where the guy's laying on the ground and she shoots him again.
Right, for
just
no
to make
reason.
Sure
for
he's
no
dead.
Reason. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta confirm his kill.
He isn't even armed at that point.
Yeah. Like, it's not like he's holding a detonator and...
Yeah. That seemed pretty crazy.
Not bad for that guy.
And I just kept sitting there thinking, like, they really should have done more with this Jacqueline character. Well, both of these characters should have been...
Well, we, the audience, should have been not expecting him to be the mole and should have been surprised by this, which we're not, because we don't know who he is.
Right.
And that Jacqueline is the one that exposes him should have been a more interesting part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead, they wasted time in conference rooms with people staring at monitors and Morgan Freeman's... godlike voice narrating various things. We need to get to the president.
I don't know, though. I would listen to pretty much anything Morgan Freeman narrated. Right.
He could read the back of a cereal box, and it would be genius.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the man. I'm simply saying they could have applied him in a better way and then given more screen time to the Jacqueline character.
I think they should have had, like, Morgan Freeman, Robert Forster, Melissa Leo, like, they should have brought them in for, like, maybe 3 days of shooting and just literally been, like, bookends on the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and you didn't need them in that middle part of the movie. Every time they cut back to them, this movie that's not bad at times kind of ground to a halt every time we cut to the Washington
maybe do a
border.
Scene where they think the president's dead and then, you know, Morgan Freeman has to deal with being the new president. Like, a little thing like that. Like,
something.
No, he's
I don't
still
know.
Alive. We got to find him, you know?
Something, yeah. So then we see there was something where, like, they got a phone from a satellite phone from the terrorists, like Gerard Butler
did,
right?
He grabs the main terrorist phone, I think, after they fight.
Yeah.
After he runs away. And so he says, this is, you know, we'll probably be able to lead you to the main guy.
So then, Morgan Freeman calls the main terrorist and he's, you know, ha ha ha, look out your window. And it's like...
a very petty thing to do.
Well, I was surprised. And the movie, like, sort of seems uncomfortable with how it's handling this, because the whole opening of the movie is kind of like, oh, drone strikes are a little shaky. But then by the end of the movie, it's almost like Morgan Freeman...
Well, that's what I thought, that at the end, because he says, oh, look out your window. I thought he's... Because he looks up at the skylight, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, it was going to... show the shot and be like, you know, 20 guys with guns out there, like, waiting to take him into custody. But then they just show, like the shot
SEAL
of the missile, like, coming at him. It's like, oh.
I thought Morgan Freeman was going to do, like, a one-liner, like, oh, if you had problems with our drone program before, take a look out your window.
I hate to drone on, but it's time to get this going.
It's a real mixed message on drones in this movie and how effective they are. And then we cut back and Gerard Butler's baby is born and is super cute. Will he resign or not? He's working on his letter.
He's still thinking about it.
And then
luckily the news is on.
And I feel like he's thinking in his head like, God, I do like brutally killing guys.
Where else am I going
to
be able to do that?
Where else? I mean, I've cut like 25 throats in the past couple days. Delete. You
know? I'll stay in my job.
Yeah. So there it is. That is London Has Fallen. It's sort of a yes or no is so wrong it's right question. Which movie made more money? Olympus Has Fallen or London Has Fallen?
I think it should have been London, but I think it was Olympus.
It's probably Olympus because people didn't know yet.
I think it was London Has Fallen because because why else make the sequel unless there was a buzz about the first one?
London Has Fallen made more money than Olympus Has Fallen, leading to speculation of what the next film in the Has Fallen series will be.
I hope so.
I actually, for way longer than I should have yesterday, was Googling this and trying to like read into it. And there has been speculation on a third one, but I hope it gets really weird. Like, I want it to be like...
It would have to. Where else are they going to go?
I know.
The Russian guy never showed up. Moscow Has Fallen.
Moscow Has Fallen is like the natural one. But like, I would love if it was really weird. If it was like Kuala Lumpur Has Fallen.
Vancouver Has Fallen.
Christchurch, New Zealand Has Fallen. You know? But I guess we'll see.
Well, I was pleasantly surprised because when we saw the trailer right after we saw Olympus Has Fallen, it looked like the exact same movie. That trailer made it look like it was the exact same movie, but it was different from the first one.
I don't think this is that controversial. I think this is still a flawed movie, but it's a much better movie.
Yeah. Much better. Yeah. And honestly, this movie could be a standalone movie. There is no piece of this movie that you need to have seen the first one. That the first one has any impact on.
And even for the audience who didn't see the first one, that's what those little title cards are for, I'm sure.
In fact, it's almost aggressive in not referencing the events.
Yeah, I feel like it's better
one.
If you don't watch the first one, because if you sell the first one, then you see it's like, well, how many times is it going to happen to this president?
I mean, come on. Yeah. Right. How many times is Gerard Butler going to slash a man's throat?
I want to know how much time has passed, because the first movie...
It's re-election, right?
Like but they don't ever reference re-election.
He said 6 years as president, so I'd say the first one probably takes place a year into his presidency, maybe.
But wasn't it two years later from the limo accident to the...
Oh, you're right.
To the actual happenings of the movie?
Oh, you're right.
And then this is 2 years after
that. And then
this
is...
Well, this has to be a minimum of... No, yeah.
Because
he says,
I haven't driven a car in 6 years. I'm the president. He is in his second term because his VP is different. It's been 6 years since his election. So the question is, how long between the limo accident and the events of the first movie, and where in that first term did the
Maybe
first...
Maybe he just lost his license before he became president.
It's possible. He had a year they didn't drive.
But Christie is right. Like, under the most conservative timeline, this is pretty late into Eckhart's presidency.
That's why they didn't
He's got to be at least 2 years into his second term. So he's been president for 6 years, based on the evidence in this film.
Wow. Well, we'll go to a quick roundtable of... is it so bad it's good? You know, Cody, what do you...
I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't, terrible. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. You know, it's just a dumb action movie.
I was surprised it was actually only 26% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we've seen way worse movies than this that had higher scores on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
I thought it was a fun movie.
Yeah, Jack.
It's crazy,
same thing. It's just it's standard action fare. It's fun. It's goofy and campy at parts. But I tend to grade action films more on a curve. I think that this is not the greatest action movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's a lot better than the first one in terms of its quality level. There were no laugh out loud moments. I'd say it was just like Cody. I agree. It's just a dumb action movie. You can kill an afternoon with it. The charm isn't there. The first one kind of did have a charm. It had like what I call the Sci-Fi Channel special effects. There's a lot of unexpected surprises, where in this film, this is going to be a violent movie with lots of ridiculous scenes. So once you realize that, you're like, okay. Whereas in Olympus Has Fallen, you're not exactly sure what you're getting for.
Yeah. Christy, what do you think?
I actually enjoyed the movie. I mean, it's just an action movie. It's not one of the best, but I mean, is... the stuff that happened in this movie any less believable than John McClane jumping off an exploding rooftop and swinging back in with nothing but a fire hose. I mean,
yeah.
There are these kind of problems in every action movie, I think. I enjoyed it. When I finished it, I thought, I don't really know if this is it's not that bad.
Yeah,
to warrant a podcast.
Yeah. It's weird. It's dumb.
I knew it would be dumb enough to talk about. But.
Yeah, it's dumb, well, it but certainly it's has not a personal connection bad. For us. Yeah. I mean, if this wasn't a sequel to Olympus, maybe we wouldn't have. Although it is so dumb. Cody's right. It is. Some of the storyline is so dumb.
Oh, it absolutely has lots of issues.
Yeah. But it is so well made technically, on a technical level, that it's like, well, yeah. Like, it holds together. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this kind of defies the so bad it's good theory of like, well, it's not that bad. And watch it watch it. It's on Netflix right now. Why not? Yeah. You know, you can do a lot worse.
I'm surprised it's on Netflix so quickly, but
Go watch it. I think that brings this one to a close. I'm going to make our plea. We haven't made this in a while. If you like the show, please write us a review on iTunes. Those reviews help, or the star reviews help.
Send us some money.
Well, hey, we're open to anything. I'll tell you right now. I don't understand how Apple works. Oh, yeah, that's true. We should set up a Kickstarter to be able to get the equipment to get Brian Mueller back in the podcast. I know. Because for people who don't know, like, I guess peeking behind the curtain, a lot of podcasts are recorded where everyone is separate and we're just like phoning in but we're actually in the same room. It's how we've always done the show. So to be able to actually take a phone-in guest...
We can do it. I just have to buy things.
Yeah, we just have to buy things to be able to do that. Hmm. It's a different facet for this show. I think that's it. And we should say, if you're a regular listener, you probably know we've been hinting to this episode for a long time.
Yes.
Some of the hints were pretty clear. But after the Dune debacle, we no longer officially can... say we're doing movies, but this one was, I think the hints were, I think most people picked, actually I know a lot of people picked up on it because some of them messaged me about it and they were like laying it on a little thick that London Has Fallen is coming.
I feel like maybe we should ask for Gerard Butler movie recommendations.
I know.
Because I feel like pretty much every movie he's been in could be a podcast movie.
Well, he dropped out of the Point Break. Maybe he didn't drop out. He didn't. They wanted him for the Point Break remake, but he did this instead.
Probably a good choice.
I know. And apparently the Point Break remake is a candidate for this podcast as well, from what I'm hearing. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we will figure out what we're going to do next, and we will be back here next time very soon. All right. Bye.